What you're about to experience is one man's quest to see beyond the tumultuous period we're in and to envision what lies just beyond our grasp, yet well within our reach. Welcome to Larry Rifkin's America Trends, where the future has arrived and it's just in time.
Welcome back to America Trends, Larry Rifkin, along with John Kropczyk. And John, do you want a truly humbling experience?
Sure. What would that be?
All right. We're going to take a walk on the wild side right now. Now, just peruse today's version of the want ads, whatever they are, and the skills that are required to do just about anything.
Well, it's a lot of computer stuff. People are running computers.
I mean, or are computers running people, John?
Well, eventually that's coming.
Well, I bring that up because, John, at the end of last year, and I'm kind of in a phase of peri-retirement, I'm calling it, where I'm doing some work, doing some jobs for pay, others for volunteer and so forth. But, you know, when the stock market started to really crumble, it got me a little nervous. So I did something I never thought I'd be doing at this stage. I opened up the want ads.
Wow.
And I looked and I said, it's amazing how many jobs I'm not qualified for, even in my own field anymore. Oh, it's a little depressing.
Right. The world has changed. You're absolutely right.
Even to deliver Hostess cupcakes or Legos. Legos has a weight limit thing. I mean, so I couldn't lift 100 pounds. So I'm out. It's unbelievable.
Those Legos really are heavy.
Yeah, they are. Well, the Hostess would be lighter because I'd be eating them along the way. You know, but you know, you can't even sell drugs anymore, John, because they're legalizing it all. So, what is a man to do? What is a man to do? So, I think even greeters at Costco have to be able to explain the intricacies of the video games they offer there.
Oh boy! So you have to have a social work degree.
Yeah, absolutely, something. So this is where we're going today on the podcast. We're going into the area of career confusion, John.
All right. That's always been a problem, career confusion.
Well, Dr. Tracy Weiland has been with us in the past, and she is a remarkable scholar, a former visiting scholar at Stanford University, and she's had leadership positions at Apple, HP, Cisco Systems, and she really knows what the job fields of the future look like. And they are changing, and they're changing very rapidly. And you talk to somebody and you say, what do you do today? And they say, I'm a blah, 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 blah. And you say, what? What is that? Seriously, these are jobs that didn't even exist just a short time ago.
Oh, no. And they're going to change more and more. You know, I mean, people are going to have to learn to service the robots that are going to be serving us. Who knows? Someday.
Absolutely. Well, let's get on, because if you're a parent or a grandparent or you're a young person who loves listening to the podcast that we do every week. Well, actually, we provide two a week, John.
That's right. Yeah. Get your math right.
All right. I'll get it right. I'm better to get that next job. So we'd like to hear from Dr. Tracy Weiland right now. She is remarkable. She's going to help you through the thicket of job searches today in this century on America Trends. We want to talk today to Dr. Tracy Weiland about her newest book, Career Confusion, 21st Century Career Management in a Disrupted World. And why is there so much confusion? I sense it all around me with a lot of young people moving in and out of jobs and feeling somewhat insecure.
Oh, sure. So if I look at what are some of the major changes that are happening, is one is all around technology. There are so many new technologies out there that today that people just don't understand. You know, we shifted from the PC world into the software world, into the digital world, and words like artificial intelligence and machine learning and Internet of Things is very confusing for people. The second is that the firms structure are actually changing. So many of us may have worked in hierarchical firms, and today, because of competition, globalization, firms are trying to get flatter and more fluid. And that confuses people because they don't even know what their job path is once they get into a firm. The third area is skill requirements. And it used to be either you had to have hard skills or soft skills or technical skills. And now firms and employers are looking for people to have a blend of all three. So that's much more challenging for us. How do I get those skills? And then the fourth area I see is just the fact that we're living longer. We've talked about that before, but researchers are increasingly saying that we will most likely live to 100 plus, which means we have to work longer to retire. So I think those are the four big areas that I think are creating a lot of confusion for people.
A lot of people also have opportunities to get into startups or established companies, or maybe even say, well, I'm going to find my own path and I want a little more flexibility in my work environment, so I want to really be a freelancer. I mean, those are difficult decisions to make because you never know whether a startup is going to make it or not. And then some of these large companies, we see that they downsize regularly. And there are those risks just to being out on your own.
Yes, and you're hitting the nail on the head, actually. That is much more risk involved today in any career choice. There is no safe bet. Not even, you know, they say the government was even a safe bet, but that's not a safe bet either. And so we actually have to take a lot more responsibilities of how to manage that risk for ourselves and start to think through more clearly about what are our capabilities, what's our skill set, what's our experience, and how can I apply it and grow it so that I can always protect myself against the risk. I think that's a really good point.
And a lot of young people are still coming out of higher education with degrees that people like me got in the humanities, and we were never told that that was a waste of time back in the 1970s and 80s. We figured a way to apply it into communications or law or whatever it might be. And yet we're really starting to send a signal that unless you're technically proficient or you're somebody who's going to help to keep the robots well fed, then you may not have a future. And yet these are still, a lot of the courses that we are offered are those that we enjoyed as part of an arts and sciences curriculum.
Yes, you know, you're bringing up a really good point because I increasingly meet so many students who tell me I started off on the path because my parents tell me psychology was a good path. You know, I'm good with people. And then they're told in midstream, that's a really bad degree for you to pursue. So now change it to business or change it to computer science or change it to something else. And then they extend their time in college. And I would have stepped back and said, okay, wait a minute. Maybe you're down the path of psychology, but we can do double majors here. We can amplify what you're doing by adding in internships in, you know, tech capacity or other areas that are highly employable skills. So, you know, instead of just looking at the curriculum as getting the job, which is what we used to do in the past, now you have to look at your whole experience, your time. And in 24 hours a day, yes, I'm going to do some of it working on school stuff, but should I be volunteering? Should I be starting a business? Should I be working and earning and learning at the same time so that I'm developing a robust portfolio that is hireable when I graduate. So I think it is frustrating for a student today, and I think teachers really have to be much more proactive of showing them how to get skills and learn at the same time.
And let's be honest, I mean, you may become very proficient in a very small field that is technically really important today, that within 5 years, given the pace of technological advancement, you're just as out of step as somebody who might have gotten this broad macro liberal arts education.
Yes, and I know a lot of engineers have said that, you know, they learned BASIC and then it was C++ or Java, and now today they need to know Python or different variations of the, you know, coding. And a lot of IT managers tell me, you know, they came down the hardware thread, but now everything is software. So how do you make the transition? So my advice is always keep on top of your industry so you understand the direction where it's going. And the best time is really to increase your skills, capabilities, and the extra education while you're working so that you can start to get more skills developed in the future of your area. A good example is actually manufacturing. Manufacturing has evolved through 3D printing and robotics. Now, these are things that we can learn while on the job, and then even project forward and say, well, it's going to be smart machines and artificial intelligence. So how am I going to keep up with that curve of transition that manufacturing is going through?
You remind us, when people are trying to figure out their career path, that you still have to do what you like to do. You still have to do it well, and well enough to get paid or promoted for it. I mean, those are some of the fundamentals that I think do succeed in virtually every generation, regardless of the pace of change.
Yes, but the point that I try to make with people is like, I'm not an advocate of following your passion unless it is something that you do well and you get well enough to get paid or promoted for it, because I might have a passion, you know, for an area that is just doesn't get paid for, or I may really want to pursue being a doctor, but I don't have the capabilities to do that. So I think we always have to keep in mind of separating hobbies from things that will actually pay the bills. And if we're lucky enough to have a hobby that also pays the bills, that's really great, because not a lot of people have those capabilities. So I think it's important that we always keep our eye on the ball, that we are a revenue stream, and we have to keep ourselves funded.
But what about people who, you know, have just had this passion and they didn't know whether they could turn it into something that was marketable, and yet they found that somehow there was a niche and they built something remarkable out of that? And you don't want to tamp down that expectation, but you do want to make certain that it's measured and careful so they don't get disappointed. So when do you know that you're not really in a position to turn your love, your avocation, for example, my songwriting? I haven't had a million seller yet. In fact, I haven't had a one seller yet, but I'm enjoying it nonetheless. So when do we know that we should move in one direction or another?
Well, I guess you'd have to give it, you know, your 100% shot and investigate it as a business plan and a business opportunity, and do a deep dive. You know, are the songs that you're writing sellable, you know, or the songs that you're writing, you know, in mesh with what consumers want today? Or is it something that you have to morph a little bit so that it could become a business for you, or in along those lines? I'm not a songwriter, so I'm
well, I don't think my lyrics would ever be prone to rap, so I don't think I'm really in the market today. But these are the types of questions, I guess, that people have to ask themselves.
They really do. And have you done diligence, you know, in pursuing it as a full-time career or not? Or what a lot of people do is they do this stuff exactly like you're doing on the side. So you have a mainline breadwinning sort of career, and then you have a side gig. And the side gig is the one that you're nurturing on weekends and at night to really find out, is that something that you could build into a business? As long as it's not in competition, if you're working in a firm with something you're doing at the company, a lot of people do this because they say, okay, this is what I'll do for now, but in the future, I'd like to get my side gig to become my primary breadwinning gig.
What if somebody is stuck? They're listening to us now, and we are really fortunate to have Dr. Tracy Weiland with us. She's the author of Career Confusion, and they really just don't know what to do. They've tried different things. They've pursued various forms of education. Maybe it's more technical, or perhaps it is university-based or what have you, and they're just kind of not getting ahead. What do you suggest? What's a way to get unstuck?
Well, a way to get unstuck to me is, if you don't know what you want to do, let's eliminate the things that you don't want to do. And that can be easier for people because then the population of choices narrows pretty quickly. So, for example, you know, I want to work with my hands and not be in an office. Or I want to be in an environment where I'm working and caring for people, but I don't feel good about working with blood. You know, so if you can start to narrow these down, and one way you can do that is asking people, what do you do in your job? Go find 10 people who are doing something that you think you might want to do, and then by the time you talk to the 10 people, you might figure out 8 of those jobs or careers is just like not turning you on. I think the second thing is proximity. You know, do you want to work where you live? I think a lot of people get intrigued and go, oh, I'm going to move to another state or country, or I love these high travel jobs. They sound so exotic. And then I think you have to get practical. you know, what is your family, your circumstances at home and in your environment, and are you the kind of person who can do nonstop travel or remove yourself from a location and start all over again another location, and really decide that, you know, can you do that, or is that just sort of like a fantasy and you can, you know, travel on your own? I think commuting is a big one. It's becoming even more important because we're so urbanized and there's so much traffic. You know, you can just throw in the towel. You know, it can get really tedious sitting in a commute every day, 2 hours each way. And so, you know, you might want to just draw a circle around and say, this is how far I'm willing to commute given the traffic patterns of where I live. And what are all of the companies that fall into these zip codes? And let me just put my focus there. Another area is qualifications. A lot of people have dream jobs. Rather, I say, make a list of the skills that you have today and the experience that you have today, and today only apply for jobs that match that. Once you get the job, then you can start thinking about your dream job of tomorrow so that you can expand your skills while you're working and reposition inside the firm or again. Another area is fit. The vibe of a company or the culture of a company. I have had colleagues of mine who have transferred out from the East Coast to work at Google. They just said, this is the hottest company on the planet. And then they got there and they said, I do not fit in this environment at all. It's much more loose, free-thinking, group-oriented.
I only have one pair of jeans.
Right. But they just said, you know, I just don't fit. And then I think it's always important to read the top-level biographies of all of the executives and what their messaging is, and are they saying the things that you agree with and you'd be comfortable with. So there's a long list there of things you can do if you don't know what you want to do.
I'll tell you, the personality piece I find very interesting. First of all, companies are doing these deep dives into personality now to find out whether, in fact, you might fit. And I know people who've gone to 3, 4, 5 different interviews with different teams asking a range, a battery of questions. But I think it's really important, if the employer's taking it that seriously, you need to think about whether you fit. And I worked for a government agency for 2 years, and it was in the commissioner's office. It was at a high level, but I just didn't fit into that culture. I was much more proactive. And so you really need to think about that.
I agree with you, Larry. You know, and every industry and sector has its own dynamics. And sometimes you fit into those dynamics, and sometimes you just have to listen, do all the interviews, and say, can I envision myself here? Because if you can't, I wouldn't continue to pursue it because you might self-eject a year or two later like you did. I went to a company that was just too big for me, and I remember I left within a year, fortunately figuring out a better fit for me at another company because it had just way too much process and was way too slow for me.
How do you prepare for jobs that perhaps don't exist or are going to be, fast-tracking and changing and evolving all the time? How do you even begin to think about that, knowing that whatever this job may be today, it's unlikely that it's going to be that in 5 years?
Yeah, you know, a lot of parents ask me this. They said, you know, my kids are in school. What are some of the things that I should think about as a parent? And one is, I would say, have your kid talk to a lot of people to figure out what they're doing that's exciting for them. But a lot of times it just boils down to math, and because math is like a problem solver. And I know that people say, oh, but math is so hard. Yeah, it takes time to learn, you know, so the basics, the English, the writing, the reading, take some computer classes, get your hands dirty with the technology. I think as young people, we also need to find out what are some of the trends that's really exciting to us. A lot of kids say, I love gaming. And, you know, and they say, well, you know, maybe you could have that as a career. Why don't you go talk to some people and find out who are in gaming? You can use your social networks to do that. What kind of courses and classes, companies and skills did they have to learn so that they could actually be working for some of these big game companies? I'm a big fan of keeping busy all year around, whether it's summer activity camps, like really hot on those, you know, where you learn about photography to technology to hairdressing to cooking, it doesn't matter. It's you're exploring in the summer. And a lot of times the schools, the public schools, are even sponsoring some of these summer camps, as well as internships, you know, going in, whether it's a week to a summer, spending time in a company and learning how it works so you can, you know, start to think about, is this going to make sense for me or not? I think as you get older, we can start thinking about how do we expand what we're doing now into something more futuristic. So an easy one to understand is marketing. It's gone very digital. So how can I learn to add, you know, what is digital marketing? How do I communicate to people using social media? How do I understand the data collected? So, you know, manufacturing, as I mentioned before, you know, how do I expand my role in manufacturing to be, you know, encompass some of the newer technologies like robotics and 3D printing and machine learning. So I think there's a lot of ways that we can do it. A lot of companies are bringing training in. If your company isn't bringing training in, then start to look at some certifications and quick boot camps that you can do. And a lot of these are free or semi-free. You can get them whether it's on YouTube or through Coursera or Udacity. There's lots of ways to learn today.
But a lot of people are actually going to these certification programs that are run by private industry. Is there anything to be wary of there?
Well, I think at the end of the day, I would always ask them, are people getting placed in jobs?
But they will tell you they are.
And what are the jobs, and can I talk to the people, right? I would definitely want to talk to alums who are taking these courses. I had a guy actually go to a coding boot camp convinced that he would be able to transition his entire career, and halfway through he realized he just didn't have what it takes to do coding. I would have said, why don't you try the Code Academy first, which is free, at least, you know, partially free, and then make the decision before you exit your job and then invest in the boot camp. So I think it's, you know, really understanding, one, can you do it? And, you know, can you take some of it for free to see if you have the knack at it? But then, two, is are people actually getting real jobs from the different certifications?
What is a career selfie? You suggest that we might want to take that snapshot of ourselves.
You know, that it was a term I stated. It was a couple of years ago when Google published a statistic that people were taking like over 100 million selfies per day. And it was just a bizarre number of, you know, image taking that I just couldn't comprehend. And so I compared it with how much time people actually spend on personal career planning. And I found that it was like college students still looking for jobs. It was like maybe an hour and a half a year. It was really small. And adults, I couldn't find any stats on how much time they were spending on career planning because they were doing everything else, like planning weddings or buying cars. And so I wrote a blog that said, isn't it time for a career selfie, which is take a snapshot of where you are in your career today and focus on something, whether it's saying a year from today, this is my goal. I want to be, instead of a manager, I want to be a senior manager. How do I get there? And building a timeline. You know, how do you become the CEO, they say, of your own job or own your job? What are the things that you would do differently if it was actually you were the CEO of the job in your company? Think about your personal brand. How am I going to separate myself? You know, if everybody in my group is a financial project manager, how am I going to separate that I have incredibly unique skills like Excel, and I want to be thought of as an expert in that so that I get selected for high visibility projects? So it's pretty much as saying, you know, focus on your career as much as you're taking those snapshots and pictures that you do every day and images that you project in videos. Take some of that time and put it into your own self-development. Take a career selfie.
When you look at the jobs that are going to be available in the coming period, 2019 and beyond, I know everybody is talking about cannabis, and everybody wants to be the king of cannabis. Everybody's talking about blockchain. They're talking about artificial intelligence. Are those some of the areas to pursue?
Well, I'll tell you what. I think one on the cannabis, it depends where you live. Because there's different aspects of that industry depending on, you know, where is it a dispensary, is it a commercial marketing. Recruiters have told me that they get a lot of job openings placed because it's just like a firm. CFOs, HR directors, CEOs, marketing people.
And I hear they have some of the greatest meetings. No, I'm kidding.
But they said it's a real business. It's sort of like pornography is actually a real business too. And people, recruiters tell me they get job openings for pornography, you know, adult pornography firms. So, you know, it is, but it may not be in one. Is it legal in your state or not? Blockchain is very big in the financial sector. A lot of financial firms are actually retraining, they're telling me, a lot of their employees to be data scientists and understand blockchain's implications, like in the stock market or in the banking system. So I think there's opportunities there, and a lot of financial firms are really taking the onus upon themselves to figure it out in their industry and train their employees. And then, of course, artificial intelligence and machine learning. I think every industry is going to have that impact, and so I would look at what industry you're in and, you know, what the impact is there, and can you get on board early? The big obvious one is, you know, autonomous cars. There's like over now 360 partnerships between auto companies and software firms. It's probably even more now. It's this entire platform being developed around autonomous cars, and there are so many different avenues that you could get in. Whether it's designing the car, fixing the car, programming the car, redesigning the roads, the laws, there's so much opportunity that could be potentially there. It's just like mobility was years ago. Autonomous cars could be that new platform.
How do you look and see what's just ahead? I mean, they can listen to America Trends because we do a lot of this. But how do people know that something is on the verge? And if I really begin to direct my energies and channel them in this direction, there's a future there.
You know, I look at the news. I say, what are the headlines that are coming up over and over and over again? For example, security, right? Cybersecurity, data security, protecting data comes up in the news over and over and over again. And then if you look at a deep dive, is there are so many companies, organizations, and the government that are looking for people who have developed expertise in security. So that to me is, okay, there's something here, it's going to stay. There's a lot of job openings and people are looking at it. Is healthcare coming up? Are there certain areas, you know, right, we're reading a lot about genetic editing, right, and DNA. You know, what if I'm in healthcare and biology, is that an avenue that I want to start to look at for myself? So transportation would be the autonomous cars. Finance, of course, you know, financial technology and blockchain. You know, how do I learn that? You know, can I keep my functional expertise and then expand into some of these new areas? And a lot of it is just coming up in the news. Oh, a big one is entertainment. Everyone's saying, what are you watching? Are you doing Hulu? Are you doing Netflix? Are you doing Amazon?
I know. There's so much content out there. It's absolutely amazing. I don't know how they're monetizing it all, but it is there. The book is called Career Confusion, 21st Century Career Management in a Disrupted World, Dr. Tracy Weiland. And as we close, you've got some jobs of the future that are remarkable. What is a memory surgeon?
A memory surgeon is actually, if they figure out the brain, right, and there's a whole area of neuroscience. There's another one for you. A neuroscience is people who can actually, we understand the brain enough to go in and actually surgically change memories. Maybe it's remove war memories, right? Or, you know, is there a way that we can sort of revamp the brain to eliminate?
Yeah, how about most people, their childhoods? If they could erase that, we could do away.
I think it's more of like post-traumatic stress syndrome.
Oh, I understand. You know, what about this other area, nostalgist?
That's that one I think is really interesting because I'm going through this with myself with my parents. They basically have tons and tons of photos. They've shifted from paper photos to digital photos. They want to make like a memory book or video of everything and blend the two. And so there's actually people who are out there who are now creating like digital life events, you know, so that you can sort of map together all of the memories digitally or in some sort of video. So I think that's more...
I've heard Legacy Box and some of these companies that are there. You've got Natural Disaster Forecaster. Well, when you look at it, I mean, we see them coming more rapidly and with more intensity.
Right, and I think actually that's another very realistic one, is that, you know, when today you can actually expect the weather report to be, you know, like 80% more accurate than years ago, right, where they'd say it snowed today and it would never snow. But I think that, you know, as we get much more sophisticated technologies, we can be much better at understanding when there's going to be an earthquake or the impact of an earthquake creating a typhoon or a tsunami, or, you know, predicting a hurricane or a fire. That's the big one, right, because I'm in California with all these fires. Can we get much more intelligence around predicting these natural disasters, or so that we can either avoid them or make sure that everyone can escape faster?
And, of course, with Elon Musk and with Jeff Bezos, we're looking at space tourism. There are so many fascinating aspects to your book and your thinking, and we're so glad that you came back to us on America Trends. Always a delight, Dr. Tracy Weiland. And let people know how they can get the book and read what it is that you're thinking these days.
Oh, well, thank you very much. The book is at Amazon.com and also on TracyWeiland.com, which is TracyWeiland.com. And the publisher is Peter Lang. So the book is available in a number of places. You can always contact me, of course, on LinkedIn or any of the social media. I'm Tracy Weiland.
And you're terrific. Thanks again for coming by.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.